one of the biggest weapons that Satan uses to try to defeat us is the weapon of doubt. Doubt. I doubt that I'll ever get healed from this sickness, this chronic thing. I'll doubt that that relationship, all that we just saw up here, these different people that represented, sons, daughters, husbands, wives, moms, dads, whoever. I doubt that that relationship will ever be reconciled or healed or strengthened. I doubt that my financial situation will ever, you know, get any better, or that God even knows or even cares. I just doubt God. You think about what happened in the Garden of Eden. Really, that's what Satan used. He used doubt, didn't he? He planted a seed of doubt. He said, did God really say that? I doubt it. And Adam and Eve swallowed hook, line, and sinker and believed in the doubt instead of what God said. How many knows that when God says something, he means it? How many knows that when God says something, he means it? How many knows that when God says something, he means it? Right? And he doesn't lie, does he? Now, God never lies. Satan always lies. Right? Do you agree with me so far? Because his native tongue is a lying tongue. Satan's is. God, on the other hand, speaks nothing but truth. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning about a guy by the name of Job. And as the Lord was speaking to me about that, actually, I want to tell you, can I tell you kind of a story? This is just a funny story, okay? Funny story. There's a man who was convicted of murder, and he was in court, and all the evidence is pointing against him pretty strongly. But the lawyer had a pretty fancy tactic. He thought, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try a little tactic here. So he went to the jury, and he said, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I know there's a lot of evidence against my client, but what if I told you that in the next few moments, the person that was he was accused of killing, which, by the way, they hadn't found the body, that's the only thing that they hadn't had, is going to walk through that back door in just the next few moments. Well, all the jury, you know, looked over, and of course, the person didn't walk in, and the lawyer said, see, that means that you have some reasonable doubt in you. There's something that's there that makes you think that he didn't really do this. Well, they were confused. The jury went to deliberate, but they just came back actually in just a few short minutes, and the lawyer was kind of perplexed. He thought, well, he really had this, you know. And when the lawyer asked the question, the foreman said, okay, so guilty or not? And the jury says, you know, we convict him. He's guilty on all counts. And the lawyer asked the question later on to the foreman. He says, well, I thought I had this thing. He said, I saw y'all look to the back. I thought, you know, maybe reasonable doubt that there was something that was there. Y'all looked. He says, yeah, we all looked, but your client didn't. Yeah. See, he knew that person wasn't going to walk in the back. He knew that person was dead. And there's this thing of doubt that Satan uses, and that's exactly what he does for us. He tries to make us doubt that God loves us, that God cares, that God can handle things. And as we look at the story of Job, it's so perfectly matches what many of us are going through, and certainly what Kelly was talking about. So I want you to just take a little bit of time to take some notes here this morning. And we look at what Satan actually did, actually to tempt Job, to cause Job to doubt. He actually attacked Job. And yes, last week we talked about Isaiah. For those of you who are here, Isaiah, actually I'm going to take for the next several weeks the topic of courage. The people in the Bible that exemplified courage. There's some obvious people that exemplified courage. I'm trying to not go to those people. Those are fairly familiar stories of, pretty obvious courage. But last week, we talked about how Isaiah stood before God in his presence in Isaiah chapter 6. And he had the courage to actually stand in God's presence. He had the courage to admit he was a sinner. He had the courage to receive Christ as Savior. And he also had the courage to volunteer to serve him in whatever capacity. Here I am, send me. That takes courage to do all that stuff. When you confess God as God, and in this day and age where we are, people use God as a swear word. They put him as a small g instead of a big G God. You know, he's just one of many. But God is The God that we serve is the God of the universe, the creator of everything seen and unseen. His son, Jesus Christ, is the savior of our souls. He's the only one that lived a perfect life. He died for our sins. He rose again. He's coming back again. He is the king of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And this, we shook our heads. Yes, we agree with that, but the world thinks we're crazy. And it takes courage to stand up and say those things and to walk out those things, to believe those things in this world today. Well, we look at the story today of Job, and we see a little more obviously what happened with him. Satan decided to challenge the foundation of Job's faith. He was wealthy, he was powerful, he was influential, he had a beautiful family, and he loved God. It wasn't like he was doing anything bad. And after Satan asked for permission from God to strip away all that he held dear, Satan took away his wealth, took away his health, and took away his children. And all he had left was his wife, along with a few well-meaning friends who tried to speak into his life. And you read all the multiple chapters, 42 chapters of Job, and you see that through it all, through the entire story, his faith in God didn't waver. He never doubted God's goodness and God's faithfulness. That's hard to do whenever you're going through difficult times, to embrace the understanding that even through the difficult, challenging times, even through the heartbreaks and the heartaches of our life, even through the most difficult situations, that God is still good. And God is still faithful. He doesn't know how to be other than that. Just because our circumstances change doesn't mean that He has changed in any way. And it takes courage to believe in that in those tough times. Job wasn't a perfect man. I'm not saying that he was. The Bible never said that he was either. But Job did have a heart inclined towards God. And Job trusted that God hadn't changed, even though his circumstances had. And there's 34 of those 42 chapters, there's a recorded a conversation between Job and his friends. It's the bulk of this book. And all that time, they're going back and forth and back and forth, and you get to the end of that conversation, you'll read after the back and forth that in the end, they were kind of pretty much right where they started. So why do we go through tough times? Why does God allow that? I thought, man, when I got saved, you know, it's, I think, what we think. When you get saved, it's all going to be just sunshine and roses. It's just happy, happy, happy. It's just, you know, building upon building, greater, greater, more blessings and all that. But things happen, don't they? Tough times come, don't they? I've said this before, but sunshine and roses means sometimes you get a sunburn and there's thorns in those roses. It happens. You know, we get the doctors, that difficult doctor's report. We struggle with strained family relationships. Our finances are strapped. Anything that you would add to that, it's just tough times that happen. And we go through emotional and mental roller coasters, highs and lows that attack our thought life, and they cause us to act out in fear or in anger or frustration or depression. And in those times, it's easy to doubt God's goodness, that He cares or that He's even aware of what we're going through. It takes courage in those times to trust God. It takes courage in those times to wait upon God. It takes courage in those times to yield to God. In fact, this week as I was praying and asking the Lord to help me in getting this message together, He gave me those three words that I want to focus on this morning. Trust, wait, and yield. You know, that's what Job did. He was a courageous man who battled out, I'm sure of it, and allowed God to carry him through his time of deep testing in his life. When everything around him and everything within him was being challenged, Job held steady. And that takes courage. So this morning, I want to look at this first word as we see Job's story. I'd like to point out that Job had a courage to trust God. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, in fact, if you ever get an email from me, it usually says this at the bottom, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll guide and direct your steps. I'm going to say it again. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will direct your steps. You know, it's so easy to trust in what you can see instead of what you can't see. We tend to, as human beings, to depend upon the tangible, what we can touch, what we can taste, what we can smell, what we can see. And if our senses can connect with it, then it's easier somehow to trust in those things. But at times, how many knows that our health will fail, Joanne? How many knows that our relationships sometimes will disappoint? Everybody that came up here can acknowledge to that. How many knows that sometimes our finances will deplete? Even when we're tithing, even when we're doing the best that we can and being good stewards, the Lord tests us. When this happens to you this morning, I want to ask you, what will you do? When this happens, what are you going to do? If you've placed your trust in things, in doctors, in psychologists, in a bank account or a job, those things will disappoint. Those finances will deplete. That health will fail. We're going to find out very quickly that those things are sinking sand. But if we place our trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your understanding, in Jesus our solid rock, he will never, I'll say it again, he will never, Jesus will never disappoint you. Never. You can always trust him. Job courageously trusted in God. He knew that even though his circumstances in life were proving to be tough, he could trust in the Lord with his thoughts and emotions and his entire being. He can trust in the Lord to carry him through to the other side, knowing that God is faithful. God is faithful. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, Paul wrote these words, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Far outweighs these light and momentary troubles. Yes, but God, I want my troubles to be nothing, and I still want that eternal glory. Can't I just have it good on both sides? Well, apparently not. Because it's those things, it's those light and momentary troubles that are achieving for us something. You understand that? There's something that's being achieved through this testing, through all that we just acknowledged, through all that we're going through. God is trying to achieve something in you and in me through those things. And it's an eternal thing. It's an eternal achievement. It's an eternal activity and function that God is trying to do in us, because it's an eternal thing. And so I just have to look at this scripture and say, Lord, I don't like what I'm going through. You don't have to like it. You don't have to tough it out and be all, you know, I got this. No, you don't. God's got this. You and I, we're wimps. We're weaklings. We can't handle it. We shouldn't have to. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. And in all of our ways, we acknowledge him, and he'll guide and direct our steps. That's what it's all about. You don't take it to a certain point and say, all right, God, could you take it from here? Give it to him from the very beginning and let him walk it out with you. So it finishes up by saying, we fix our eyes not on what we see, but on what we don't see. For what we see is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That is so hard to do when it's constantly a reminder in front of you that that thing, that situation, that heartache, that heartbreak, that struggle is right there every day. What are you going to do with it as it's constantly there in front of you, reminding you of how big it is? This is what you do. You say, wait a minute, God is bigger. And this may be in my life, but God's got this. I'm not going to focus on this temporary thing, because God's working in me an eternal glory. It's achieving far more, and it's going to far outweigh this stuff that's happening in my life for his glory. As you read Job's story, you really don't see where he doubted God, but he placed his trust in God in spite of the temporary outward things that he could see. And Job had everything stripped away. But this leads us to the next word that the Lord gave me for this message and for you all today. Whoever's here today, if you're here for the first time, you're not here by accident. If you haven't been in a while, you're not here by accident. If you're visiting today, you're not here by accident. God wants you here today because he wants you to know that he wants you to trust in him through every situation. Trust in him. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Then also Job had the courage to wait on God. Wait on God. Wait on God. Trust in him. Wait on him. You know, we all know these scriptures, and I think we can rattle them off. And we say, you know, God's timing is perfect. You ever had anybody walk up to you and say, you know, God's timing is perfect? Bless God. Bless God, God's timing is perfect. And they just pat you on the head and scoot you off. They say, you know, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You just need to wait on the Lord. Now go, go. And you're sitting there going, ugh, you have no idea. By the way, if you ever hear me say those things, I hope they never come off as just platitudes. It's just God's word comes up. And it should come up in all of us. And if you ever hear those words from other people, know that they're not just patting you on the head and sending you off. They're really trying to encourage you the best way they can. Wouldn't you rather hear that than someone say, well, you might as well just give up and die? Wouldn't you rather hear the other one? I would. I mean, just, you know, if you're giving me two choices, I'll take that one. Encourage me in what God's word says. And it's easy to say those things, and we know that they're true, and it's easy to say them for us when things are going well. Hey, that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, God's timing is perfect. And things are going well right now for me. But 2 weeks from now, when I'm in the depths of my despair, you better talk to me about that too, because I need to hear those words, and it needs to have a different meaning to me then than it does now, right? Because that's what the body of Christ is. Look like Jason coming up. Perfect time. He's just coming up, just hugging on me. And he's just like, you know what? Ah! And that's what those words are. That's what God does. He gives us a hug when he says, hey, you know, if you wait upon me, I'm going to renew your strength. And he just hugs us with his word. You know, when you and I are going through tough times, we want a quick answer, don't we? How many likes a slow, drawn-out answer to situations? Anybody? No, of course not. We like it to happen just like that. Here's the problem. Next is the solution. Let's move on. But life is not a 30-minute sitcom. It's not a one-hour program. It's not a two-hour movie where you see the arc of the, you know, the introduction of the characters, the problem, and then the resolution. That's how stories go. But our life is one giant arc from birth to death, and there's certain times that it goes like this. It's a journey. We want a quick remedy. We want a quick resolution. And when it doesn't happen quickly, doubt takes over. And unfortunately, many, many times, too often, I think, we give up prematurely because we don't wait upon the Lord. We don't wait upon his timing. We're wired with a desire for things to resolve themselves over a period of days or weeks or maybe months. But let me ask you a question. What if it takes years? What if it takes decades? What if it never changes? Then where are you? You know, you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith people. It says towards the end there, a lot of these people died without ever seeing God fulfill his promises. And yet they kept the faith, didn't they? And it's no different for us. I want things to happen in my lifetime with what God has put on my heart that things are going to happen. Well, good for you. But what if it doesn't happen? Does that change God? Those things eventually did happen, but not in their lifetime, right? And those things will eventually happen. Some of these prophecies that are in the Bible have yet to happen. Did these people die saying, well, God never came back, or this thing never happened, you know, these problems? It's going to happen. God is not a liar. His word will be accomplished. He speaks truth in his time if we'll wait on him. So do we give up on God because things aren't happening the way that we want them to or in our time? Job didn't. Job suffered, yeah. But through his suffering, he continued to wait upon the Lord and trust in him that through those things, that greater glory was being accomplished, that God would be glorified and Job would grow in his faith and his trust in God. Now, Job went through that so that we can look at his example. We see that hindsight's 20/20 when you read stories like that, but we're right in the middle of it, aren't we? It's a little more shadowy and hazy for us. It shouldn't be, but it is, because we're in the thick of it. But here's what you've got to understand. The Bible says that God knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything that's going to happen in your life before it ever happens, before you were ever born, before you ever existed, before even creation, before even he spoke the first man into existence, he knew you were going to be born. He knew what was going to happen in your life. He knows exactly what. I would love to know that we would all have that sort of faith and trust in him to say, wait, you know, God, you know what's going on. So I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to wait upon you because you know the end from the beginning, and I'm going to just follow your path. Right? Oh, man. You know, when the building of Job's life collapsed all around him, Job was able to rest upon the foundation of his faith in God. So how's your foundation this morning? Because see, what we need to look at is when things shake us and things collapse, the walls collapse, we need to look and see what kind of foundation that it was built upon. Sometimes our theology messes us up. We talked about that on Wednesday night at our married couples class. You know, talked about how we try to name it and claim it. Talk about how, you know, we try to get God to do stuff for us. And it just doesn't work that way. And that's just one facet of the kind of theology that is presented, the doctrine that is kind of that we get exposed to in our lives over the years. And if it doesn't line up with God's word, if it didn't line up with the full counsel of God's word, we need to be careful because we're creating a foundation that is kind of unstable. And when things begin to happen, we go, oh, but God, I thought you were a God that provides. I thought you were a God that heals. I thought you were a God that blah, 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 blah. I fill in the blanks. You know, I prayed. I fasted. I confessed it. You know, I believed it. And it still didn't happen. When things like this happen, when it doesn't happen the way that you say that it's going to happen and you pray that it's going to happen, where then are you in your walk with the Lord? If you have a solid foundation, just like with Job, when everything collapsed around him, he held steady, didn't he? He waited upon God because his relationship with God was not predicated upon God's ability to heal him, provide for him, or do anything for him. He loved God for who he was, and he had faith in God because of a relationship with him, period. And he trusted in God with all of his heart, and he leaned not upon his own understanding. And all of his ways he acknowledged him. And then the Lord was guiding and directing his steps, and he just waited upon God's timing, and he trusted in him no matter what. Job had a courage that overcame his doubt. A courage to trust in God no matter what. A courage to wait upon him. He still loved who he had left. He had his wife left. He had a few friends left. And he had his God. He had God. And he waited upon the Lord. And so as we look at this, we can say the same way that Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, that they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon and put their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Will renew their strength. Our strength is going to be depleted. How do you get your strength renewed? You wait upon the Lord. How do you get your strength renewed? You wait upon the Lord. How do you get your strength renewed? How do you get your strength renewed? Anybody ever gotten weak? Yeah, all of us. How do you get your strength renewed? Wait upon the Lord. The world will say, oh, don't do this. You got to do this. Go on a vacation or get a new relationship or get a new job or buy something nice for yourself or, go get a massage. That's going to renew your strength. If you'll wait upon the Lord, he'll renew your strength. The strength that you and I need to make it through comes from the Lord, and only from the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How do you renew your strength? By waiting on the who? The Lord. It says they will soar on wings like eagles, and they'll run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and not faint. Sounds like a good deal. As we wait upon the Lord, we spend time in his presence. We just rest in him and let him nurture us and strengthen us because life is tough and we face tests and challenges almost daily in our lives and we can't do this alone. And I want to promise you this morning that God is truly with you. I promise he's with you and he's never left Job and he'll never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. He's promised that. He says, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. He said that about you. Isn't that good to know? Jesus says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. What does never mean? Never. Opposite of that is always. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Psalm 27, verses 1 and 3, is one of my favorite chunks of scripture because you can say it in the round. Listen to this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even though, then I will be confident. Why? Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isn't that good to know? Job trusted in God in spite of what it appeared with his eyes was happening. Job waited upon God that in his time and in his way, things would work out for for Job's good and for God's glory. Which brings me to the third word, the third part of Job's courageous example, is that Job had the courage to yield to God. You know, when things don't go like we want or in our time frame, we tend to take matters into our own hands, don't we? It's as if we feel like God needs our help or something. God, you're not doing this fast enough. You're not doing this right. This is not the way that I told you to do it. And a lot of times what we do is we're acting out of fear. We're acting out of anger. We're acting out of hurt. We're acting out of impatience. We're acting out of greed. There's a lot of emotions that are going on in there, and you can add to it, and the list goes on and on. There's anything else that's only going to make matters worse. When we act out in the flesh and we're not yielding to the Lord, it's not going to help. It's going to hurt the situation. As Job was experiencing the onslaught of Satan's attack, he was right in the middle of the most testing and challenging time in his entire life. Would you agree? He could have redirected his efforts. I mean, think about it. Job had a lot of resources still at his disposal. I know he had his wife, he had some friends that were trying to console him, and he had God. But, I mean, he must have had some business relationships around. He certainly had the knowledge of how to make wealth. He was a brilliant man as far as that was concerned. God blessed him in his efforts, but he didn't just sit back and God just plopped it in his lap. I'm sure he had to work for it. And God gives us the abilities. He helps us to leverage with relationships, and sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. All that sort of stuff. You know what I'm talking about? So Job could have actually stepped in and said, you know what, God, even though I lost my kids and I lost all my wealth and I've even lost my health, okay, I'm going to go get some more kids. All right, wife, come over here. And then I'm going to get some more, I'm going to call my friends. I'm going to call in some favors, right? Hey, you know, when I helped you a few years ago when you were, I need some help now. So bring it my way. Open up some doors here. You know, let's work out a business arrangement here. You help me, I scratch my back, you scratch your, that sort of thing, right? I scratch your back, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. That's what it is. And then he could have, you know, gone into like the doctor and said, you know, I got these boils all over me. You got any ointment? But, you know, he just sat there, didn't he? Because he knew that God was allowing this to happen. And here's what happens is we try to leverage our resources and our relationships, and we try a plan B. But here's what I want to tell you this morning. If God isn't in plan B is going to fail. You don't believe me, do you? If God is not in plan B is going to fail. God doesn't need you or I to do something and then ask him to bless it. All right, God, I'm going to go take care of this, and I need you to bless it. No. God doesn't need our help. He doesn't need us to panic or run away. He doesn't need us to act out in fear or impatience or greed or anything else. I'm sure Job's situation was pleasant. That's an understatement. I'm sure that he thought many times of opting out or taking matters into his own hands, but Job didn't. He yielded to God's will. It's hard to do, but so necessary. James 4, verses 6 and 7 says it this way, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So therefore, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, this yielding that God is looking for from us, this is what it is. It's this yielding of He doesn't want you to be proud and say, I got this, and I'm going to handle it my own way, and I'm going to do the way that I need to do it, and plan B, here we come. But he simply wants to yield and say, you know what? I'm going to walk humbly before the Lord and trust in him no matter what. Pride says I'll do it my way in my time. Humility says I'll trust in God no matter what. So, Emma, are you here somewhere close by? Oh, there you are. So we submit, we yield to God in all of our ways, with all of our doubts and all of our circumstances that are overwhelming and frustrating and maybe seem to never change. And then we resist the devil, whose job it is to steal and to kill and destroy. And all of his lies will flee from you. He wants you to doubt. Don't let him doubt. Don't let him make you doubt. We can be deceived by doubt and give in like Adam and Eve. Or we can muster the courage to trust in God, to wait upon him, and to yield to him in our lives and allow him to lift you up. He says, if you'll do this, he's going to lift you up. Job did just that. And I'm sure that I look at Job, and I'm not sure that I could have handled what Job went through, but I know God gives us the grace to be able to handle, you know, what we're going through. And I think that's where I want to just kind of leave it with you this morning, is that whatever it is that you're struggling through, and we saw plenty of people come up here this morning with that very thing, is struggles, hurts, broken relationships. Satan just loves to attack those things. But can I just ask you to trust in the Lord? Can I encourage you to trust in the Lord? I don't have this mastered by any means. I sometimes struggle trusting. I sometimes struggle waiting. I sometimes struggle yielding. I don't know. I think if Job did it, he was just a man. The trials and the dilemmas that he faced could have destroyed him. But instead, it gave him the opportunity to turn to God for strength. Maybe that's that greater glory that Paul was writing about in 2 Corinthians. Because God's glory is so much greater than all of ours combined. God's strength is so much greater than all of ours combined. God's ability is so much greater than all of ours combined. Job turned to God for his strength to rest upon and his love and compassion for him to see him through. And I want to encourage you to do the same this morning. Trust in God through your pain, through your confusion, through your loneliness, through your heartache. And when you trust in God, you'll strip Satan of one of his most powerful tools, doubt. Doubt that things will never change. Doubt that God has forgotten about you. Doubt that God doesn't care about you, and on it goes. And you will gain victory in your life. Hold steady, folks. Hold steady, my friend, my brother, my sister. Hold steady. Hold steady in Christ. Hold steady. Make God and faith in him the foundation of your life. Trust in him. Wait upon him. Yield to him. And I promise, as you're courageous like Job through what was his most difficult challenge in his life, I promise you this morning that God will see you through as well. As you trust in him, as you wait upon him, as you yield to him. Would you stand with me? Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Would you get alone with the Lord right now? Don't check out. Please don't check out. Stay here. Stay here. Stay focused. Lord, this is such an important time. You've done so much wonderful work in this place today. Not only here in this gathering here, but in the gatherings before this morning and this morning's prayer time in the ladies' group. You're astounding in how you orchestrate things. We're amazed at you. And Lord, for those that came down, that's easy to work. The word of their testimony sealed it. We continue to testify to that as we leave this place. But maybe, Lord, there's some that didn't come down and they just are struggling to trust in you. They're struggling to wait upon your timing and to yield to your ways. They're struggling. Lord, I get it. We all get it in this place. We're all imperfect, flawed. We all face challenges, temptations, doubt. If this morning you need to give him something, maybe it's not a broken relationship. You know, a lot of us came down for that, but hey, there's a whole lot more that we struggle with than just that. I'm going to invite you this morning to just where you are right now, just lift up your hand and just keep it up and surrender to him that you're struggling with. If you need to trust in him in some way, just begin to worship him and just give that over to him right now. We're just going to pray together. If you need to wait upon him, if you've tried to take matters into your own hands and you've been impatient with the process, if you've at times given up on God and got to the place where you just feel like he doesn't even care anymore, I'm here to remind you that he does. And if you'll just lift that up to him, that situation, and continually do so. Come on, just lift up your hand and just say, Lord, I give it to you. There are people lifting hands everywhere. Join them if that's you this morning. And Lord, as we lift up our hands this morning, it's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of saying, I give up. I give up trying to fix this on my own. I yield to you. I wait upon you. I will trust in you. And in your time and in your way, even if it doesn't happen in my lifetime, I know that you're working out for my good and your glory a greater thing than even my own life can experience or my mind can comprehend. Because ultimately, in the big picture of things, we want your name to be glorified. We want your kingdom to be expanded. We want Jesus, your name, to be high and lifted up in our lives. So through these difficult times, the health issues, the relationship issues, our struggles in our just everyday life that we face, that is, some of us has been going on for so long. But yet, God, you know the end from the beginning, and we're going to trust in you. We yield these things to you. We surrender them. We lift up our hands and say, here, take them. They're yours. Now, your word says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So today we walk in the freedom that you're giving us, not being bound anymore, not being in worry anymore. We're not going to walk in doubt. We're not going to walk in fear. We're not going to struggle. We're not going to try to take things into our own hands anymore. We're going to trust in you. We're going to yield this thing to you. We're going to wait upon you. You've got this, and you're going to take it, and your perfect will is going to be accomplished. We're simply going to thank you now and trust in you. We're going to worship you and praise you. We're going to acknowledge you and not look to the left or to the right. We're going to let that that has begun in us have its complete and finished work in your time and in your way. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One more thing, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you need Jesus in your life this morning, if you come into this place and you don't know Jesus, today is your chance and opportunity. I invite you. I invite you to ask Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning and you need Jesus in your life, you know you've walked into this place a sinner, you know that you've done things and said things that are not pleasing to the Lord, and you felt something going on inside of you today and you can't figure out what it is, I'm here to tell you what it is. It's the convicting, loving, convicting power of the Holy Spirit that is drawing you in and saying, this is real, this is right, and this is something that you need that will revolutionize your life. It's going to change everything that is about you from this moment on in a good way. He has come to wash you clean of your sins today. There's nothing else you need to do except to open up your heart and receive his forgiveness, the finished work. If that's you this morning, I want you to lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I need you to pray. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else say, I just need Jesus in my life this morning. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Three hands. Anybody else? I need Jesus in my life today. I need Jesus in my life. I'm going to pray a prayer. Anybody else want to join these three? Lift up your hand and put it right back down, and we'll pray together. I see that hand. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Anybody else? Everyone just needs to not look around. Just pray. Just pray. It doesn't matter who's lifting up their hands. It's just all about souls hanging in the balance right now. That's what's going on. Anybody else? Come on. Just ask Jesus in your heart. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Don't wait until it's too late. You're not guaranteed another day. I promise you. He's here today. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now, today. Anybody else? Lift up your hand. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, whether you raised your hand or not, I want all of us to pray this prayer out loud. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, you will be saved. Would you pray it with me? Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I've messed up, but you bring my mess, and you can make a message out of it. So I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me, wash me, make me a new creation in you. And I thank you that as you are now, living in my heart, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm born again. I thank you, Jesus, right now for everyone that said that prayer and meant it. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would seal that decision by your powerful spirit that says what is done is done. It's a yes and amen, and I am now saved, and there's nothing that the devil can do in my life to take that away. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen.